This is the CC Radio Podcast.
Welcome to the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews Podcast Feature Review. This week we are doing Cold Pursuit with Liam Neeson in it. My name is Wayne.
And my name is Paul. Welcome along, as Wayne says, to this latest feature review. And Cold Pursuit then, let's get straight into it. It is a 2019 film, because we're finally back at the cinema.
Yes.
After weeks of watching Netflix releases.
Took a while.
It is a black comedy action thriller, as Wikipedia describes it, directed by Hans-Peter Molland in his Hollywood debut from his own film, In Order of Disappearance, a Norwegian thriller black comedy from 2014, I want to say, which starred Stellan Skarsgård in the Liam Neeson role, which, if you go way back, if you're an old school fan of the show, in either the first or second top 10, last 10 ever, I reviewed it.
That's how really?
Yeah, we've been around for.
Fuck. No idea.
It's written by Frank Baldwin and stars, apart from Liam Neeson, Tom Bateman, Tom Jackson, Emily Rossum, and Dominic Lambardozzo.
Excellent.
Dodozzi?
Well done.
That'll do.
I don't know.
Would you recognize him from a whole bunch of sort of gangster shit? I'm pretty sure he might have been popped up in Sopranos maybe at one point.
I see.
I could be making that up. It's 118 minutes long, and there's no word on the budget for it. And thus far, it's only been out for a day, basically, around the world at the time of recording. Hasn't made enough to talk about. Wayne, what's it about?
This movie stars Liam Neeson as Nels Coxman. That's right. Liam Neeson's name is actually Coxman in this film. He's a snowplow driver and an upstanding citizen in the small town of Keho, Colorado, whose 20-something son, Kyle, is murdered by goons working for a weird, slick, stuck-up Denver drug lord dude named Viking. So Nels then goes and searches, and it turns into this vengeful hunt for that Viking guy, a drug lord, and, you know, he's basically killing his way up the chain
up to
try and get to him. Literally, that is the entire movie.
Yeah, the things get more complicated, but that's spoilers.
Occasional aside, but yes.
And can we give big thanks to Kirby from Anarchy PR for invites to the advanced screenings?
Thank
we saw it two
much.
Separate nights.
We did, so we didn't have like each other to bounce
off. No idea how this is going to go. I'm very interested. Wayne, what did you think of Cold Pursuit?
Okay, so seeing the trailer, right? Very excited to see the movie. Because this is like you said, a black comedy action, this, that, whatever. That's my whole jam, right? I really wanted to like this movie a lot because I was into all the gags and this and that. This movie is just, as I said, him killing his way through the guys that killed his son. And I appreciate the fact that they're telling it straight, right? They're just, it's just kind of, this is happening, this is happening, this is happening. The gags in it, about maybe 60% of them landed,
I would say. Right.
But unfortunately, the whole movie itself, all the things that happen to it and all the things that happen in it, don't tie up and they don't, they're just oddly loose ends towards the end. So what I felt was this movie was, if it had a more cohesive plot and the bad guy wasn't ridiculous to this stage, like the bad guy in it is either overacting or directed to overact. Mm-hmm. So, and that kills me wanting to respect the story.
Oh, really?
It does. Because it's like, by the way, Paul just tried to hit a soundboard thing right and it didn't work. It's really funny.
Set it back up again.
Suck it, cunt.
Here's where I was going.
Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
Yeah, and what worth
literally
it?
Is
not
in
worth
film.
It. Yeah,
no, it's heroin, actually.
Heroin, or some shit. Yeah. Anyway, so that's, it could have been great, but it wasn't.
All right. Well, I disagree. I think a film
Oh, my God.
Film was good. It wasn't great. It was good. And I'll tell you why.
Tell me why.
For starters, I liked the bad guy. He was deliberately overacting, but that was clearly a deliberate directorial choice because Liam Neeson is playing it extremely muted. He is extremely taciturn. He's grieving, sure, but he's not a man of many words. We established that in the opening scene.
No, he's not.
He doesn't want to have to give a speech for winning the Townsman of the Year or whatever it is.
Yep.
How many words do I have to say? And she said, about 100, his wife says to him.
Yeah.
So we get that. All from that information is all that we need. And so they allow the film, and you're actually wrong in one respect.
What?
He doesn't kill his way to the top, right?
Does he not?
The film stops at a certain point. I'm not going to say how or why, because I'll say that for spoilers. And he kills no one else, and I'll leave that as dot, dot, dot.
All right, let's...
Right?
Oh, okay, all right.
So,
we'll get into that.
You have oversimplified the film in your description.
Yeah, but the idea...
Which is fine, because we're not giving away spoilers.
No.
The film goes in different directions than you would anticipate, and as it does... It gets progressively blacker and funnier.
All right, so this...
But for me.
I understand. You talk about the bad guy, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're saying, all right, so he's, he's purposefully over the top. Fine. That's all good, okay?
They all are. All of the goons Even though they may only have one character trait, which is, you know, because there's only so many character traits you can give 20 henchmen.
Yeah, there's a lot of them.
They are all exaggerated in that trait. And it's a deliberate decision.
I understand.
Against...
I just don't think it worked. Like, yeah.
Whereas it did for me.
Really? So hang on. This guy who's the bad guy who's like a so seemingly a health dietary freak.
He's a sociopath, overly control freak.
I understand that. But the way he is, I don't believe that he's powerful enough to actually head a big bad guy organization. He was too...
Well, he inherited it from his dad.
That makes it a little better. But now I can't imagine he can hang on to it. Because it's just like, he's such a dick, right? And all these gods...
He absolutely is. But then if we're going to... If you're going to apply that level of logic to it, then every film which has a megalomaniac as a bad guy, why are all these people just working for him when end result is something terrible?
Here's the right way to do it. The professional. Gary Oldman is essentially this freak of weirdy ass kind of... Okay. And I...
No question Gary Oldman's better.
I'm just saying, but that
this film is not the professional.
The tone for that makes the professional bit work, because you barely remember the fact that Gary Oldman was over the top. You're just impressed with the movie. This here, that guy's a feature. So that was one thing. Okay, it just seemed like he's storming around the house and yelling. I don't know. It's weird.
I can understand that it's too much for you. That's fine. It didn't ruin the film for me.
You do find out that he's rebelling against his abusive father,
and right? I liked
that is something. Yeah. But it just came later something for me. I don't know.
Okay, I liked that. The way that the world was sort of painted in slow strokes. So then we see that Liam Neeson, or Coxman's father, used to be sort of in the game, and his brother was and still is in the game to some degree.
Yeah.
And so all that sort of being filled in as we went, and then the other side of the coin which comes into play as well.
Yeah, look.
I'm being deliberately vague there just for a couple of minutes.
I understand. Look, the movie is... There's something I'm liking about it. I was sitting there going that this is at least nothing like a lot of movies, right? It's actually trying something
different.
Well,
what it's definitely not like is any Liam Neeson thriller.
That's right. I think that's the thing we should take away from here. Mm-hmm. I think he's done with that. Because it looks to me, that if you look at the trailer, it's like, oh, this is another Taken or whatever clone, right? But it's so not that.
Yeah,
it's absolutely
every
not
that. January, February, sometimes with a year in between for a beat, but last year was a commuter. Then we would have Nonstop. We would have A Walk Among the Tombstones. Yep. We'd have all these other kind of films, Taken 1, 2, and 3. Ever since Taken hit and hit big, this has been Neeson's go-to.
That's his career. Yes. It is. The older action guy. By the way, Nonstop, how awesome. Really good show.
It's all right.
I really like Nonstop. But this one here, like I said, it's an odd film, but it's not boring, and I'll give it that. Right?
Yeah,
this gets a pass from me because it's not boring.
Oh, well, I'm glad it gets a pass because, dear God, some of the shit you pass.
I know what you're saying, but I want to like the film. The laughs alone made it better than it should be. If there was no laughs in this movie, I'd hate it.
Well, I mean, the film wouldn't have worked if there were no laughs. It was all played dead straight the way that it couldn't work, because the whole storyline would have had to be different. It would have been Liam Neeson's vengeful father taking one dude out at a time till it gets to the boss. That's the way the straight thriller version of this plays.
Okay.
Right? This film didn't play that way. Not after the first 40 minutes.
Yeah, but you don't, like, things like, let's just say in the movie there's a kidnapping of sorts, and the person getting kidnapped is oddly at ease with being kidnapped, and it just did not, I'm like, what is this? What is this?
I'll tell you why, in spoilers. Because I think you've missed something very important.
Yeah, I do. Okay, well, I'll just tell you this one thing. Laura Dern?
Yes.
So she's in it for 30 seconds?
The biggest problem with this film, straight out, we should give the proper criticisms as well, is the underwritten female roles. Like, there's a lot of room here. There's a sheriff female and her more senior partner.
I don't know that role was underwritten. Laura Dern's probably was.
Laura Dern's absolutely was underwritten. The wife of Viking, underwritten.
Yeah.
And then Emily Rossum's role is nice that she gets a little bit more to do. But that whole storyline, pointless.
Yeah. These should
have been cut out.
Yeah.
There was no need to have these two sheriffs investigating it.
It bothered me.
Nowhere.
Yeah. And that the second sheriff is Rawls from fucking The Wire.
Yeah.
So like I'm like, oh, he's still acting, excellent. So
their shtick back and forth, and you know, a little bit of fun they had at the expense of her ex boyfriend, all that kind of stuff. That was cool. But I'm like, it didn't go anywhere. It didn't dovetail back into the storyline in any way that was sufficient enough.
Yeah, there's a double-edged sword here as well, I think, with Liam Neeson's character. All right, because he very simply, very without that much trouble, goes and dispatches, you know, people. We'll talk about that. But the killings and stuff, they're not wildly spectacular.
No.
They're, in fact, kind of funny.
Yeah. And, well, again, it's gunning for that.
That is fine, all right? But there was, like, any other movie might take the opportunity to show the avenging father having a second thought or exploring his late son's life or coming to some hard-won truths about himself or some shit like that, right? This is not doing
too
that.
Too deep.
I know it's too deep and it didn't sit the same, but it also made me care less. I needed a little more.
That's fine. That's a valid criticism, I think. It didn't bother me that way because, again, having seen the original, I knew what I was in for.
All right. Well, speaking of the original, I think the original, the Nils Coxman character, this is just trivia.
It's called something else. I can't remember.
Nils Dickman.
Yeah, yeah.
It's Nils Dickman, man! So, come on. In fact, casting Liam Neeson is already a joke. In a role of Dickman Coxman.
Yeah,
come on,
true.
Man.
You're right. There's been a meta joke.
I do love that. I do love that. So look, like I'm saying, I didn't have a bad time, but this is not a good movie.
Well, I disagree. I think it's a fine film. Okay. It's not great. It's fine.
All right,
I enjoyed it. Given some of the shit that we've been sitting through of late, I enjoyed it much more.
Okay, this is Justice League syndrome.
Yeah, contextual.
Everything's better because of that one shit.
Possibly.
So, bit of that.
We should also address the rather elephant-sized...
Dick in the room?
Yeah, literally Dick in the room. So Liam Neeson, of course, shot himself and this film in the foot in the lead up on the press junket for it.
Did you see that?
I didn't see it. I've read enough about it.
Okay.
It's awful to think that he...
what was he thinking?
Exactly. I even read an article by the journalist who published it. So what happened was Liam Neeson, if you haven't heard, effectively said that 40 years ago, initially we didn't know the timeline, but 40 years ago in Dublin, a friend of his was raped.
Mm-hmm.
Her only description of the raper was he was black.
Yep.
And so he took to the streets of Dublin with a kosh in his hand, wanting to murder a black person that came up to him.
That's right.
Now,
he put air quotes and said, I was waiting for a black bastard. And I was like, what are you doing? And it's even if, like, on one hand, right, it's like, are you somehow furthering the cause of equality by pointing out your own racism in the past? And the fact that you brought it up means it disgusts you and you understand that it's inherent.
Yeah, he certainly wasn't defending himself.
No, he wasn't, right? So on one hand, I'm like, you've got dick and balls. You're fucking huge, right? Like, this is, who does this? Right when a movie comes out.
Lionsgate would have been so angry.
Honestly, on another hand, I'm like, I gotta say, here's a guy saying something no one else can maybe admit and perhaps there should be some respect just for that
time
sort
and
of
place.
Level of, yeah, maybe.
If you want to write a book, and publish it as you're retiring.
Yeah, maybe.
And say, look, here is how I was, and here is how I've grown. And thank God we all have done the same, or at least we should have done the same.
But perhaps, like, he's. Like, the fact that he brought this up at all means that he clearly is struggling with. Like, who would bring this up in an interview, man?
And right? Apparently, the journalist even went back to Liam Neeson's camp and said, would you like to elaborate in any way before I publish this story? Because it's on the record.
Yeah.
And the minder eventually stepped in, so I think that's enough for today. And they must have just.
Yeah,
been.
God knows what the fuck would he say if you kept on going.
Look, on the other hand. What really bothers me, not the other hand, what really bothers me is up until this point, I've really liked Liam Neeson. I think it's great to see a guy who's only a few years younger than my dad kicking ass in
Absolutely.
Films and even his bad films. And I would argue The Commuter, for example, is a bad film. There's still an enjoyment to see that element of it.
Completely. And that's why he
is refreshingly frank in his interviews, just not this far. So
possibly too frank, yes.
I'm a bit saddened, I have to say, because I reckon this film is going to take an absolute pummeling as a result.
As a man who's been on the receiving end of racial vilification.
Sure,
in the past,
okay. Yep.
I can tell you that from my perhaps, I don't know, point of view, I'm looking at a white guy who says, I was once like this, and this is the kind of blackness that's in my heart, and that's something that's happened, and I'm having such a problem with it, I have to unburden myself by telling you about it at the cost of myself and my career and probably a studio. I actually kind of, I find the honesty a bit refreshing.
Okay. All right.
It's weird. I'm not saying that I like him less, more, whatever now, but that's something. Like, it's, you've, no one admits that. He did, though.
No, I can't take anything away from you as you say that. So, anyway, that's it. We've addressed it. And
anyway,
it's probably as deep as we'll get on the show.
That's as deep as we're getting on this show. Sorry.
All right. Well, then let's hit the spoiler button and get into it on the other side. So, for you, it's a just pass. For me, it's a recommendation. If you haven't seen the film yet, go out, check it out. Let us know who is closer to the mark. Spoiler. All right. Free for all now.
Tell me, Paul, of your... The thing that you mentioned before. About.
Okay, so not straight away. First thing that happens is about halfway through the film, Coxman almost fades out of the narrative for a good half an hour. And what we get instead is a second group of Native Americans, drug dealers,
yes,
who are in a bit of a turf war and they have respected it. But what happens is Viking assumes the person killing all of his drug mules
is this old
Native American, so I apologize.
There is a great Indian joke in here, though.
There is, and they really do play on it.
Yeah,
they lean hard into it. And then effectively it becomes this sort of war between, because of course the Native Americans, they want to kill some of these white dudes.
Yep.
And it's a sun for a sun, he says, so they target the sun. Now, you mentioned, and some very colorful characters on both sides, and one thing we haven't talked about is this great device through the whole film, which is every time someone dies, fade to black or cut to black, and then the name, real name, underworld name, and their religious denomination as depicted by a sort of whatever cross
icon or icon
flashes up on screen, which the first few times in my cinema, people were like, oh, okay.
I didn't get it to the end, second. Yeah.
People were losing it laughing.
Because there was that one scene where everyone died, and then there was 14 crosses on the
screen. 16 names or 20 names
come up. That was piss funny, right? Like I said, I laughed out loud a lot.
Even the very final gag of the film is that dude who goes up on the... goes up on the windsail, whatever it is. Not sure what you call it. And then happens to drive into the... get plowed, basically.
This is... You know what? This is the thing. Like, I was writing my notes, and I was sitting there going, I don't know how I feel about this movie, because I was like... On one hand, because you know how I said I only gave it a pass and you gave it a recommend. I'm not necessarily sure that I don't recommend this movie.
Okay.
What I'm saying to you is it didn't hit
in the end. Our score will probably be like 3 points different.
Probably. It probably is like this. What it does. The problem is what it does. What it achieves with comedy and good things, it to me undoes by being oddly vague and kind of weird and tonally inconsistent. Because like there's a scene
which I didn't find tonally inconsistent at all.
What about the Native Americans frolicking in the snow? Like, what the fuck was that?
Well, again, it was loosey-goosey. It was, like, silly in places.
I was like, what is this scene? Where did it even
go? Look, it transitioned. If you look at the first 20 minutes of the film and the last 20 minutes of the film, wildly different.
Yes, but...
unlike, say, Velvet Buzzsaw last week,
the
transition for me worked. It was slow and gradual into that black comedy realm.
Well, the bit where I decided this is... Because I was into the movie. I was never bored, so I was into it the whole time. So it's something. It's something, right? But when Liam Neeson kills his first guy by strangling him in the truck, right? And then there's that scene where he goes, "Oh my god, I just killed a guy!" And then the guy wakes up. He's like, oh, "Shit!" And he tries to kill.
That was funny.
Very funny. I thought that was really, really good. And then, like, you know, with the snowplow and all this other shit. I don't know. That was... I
cut to him wrapping them in wire and dumping them
Wire so the fishes can eat them. Yep. See, all things like... These are really good elements mixed among other... The weird elements just put me off too much.
Okay, for you. Whereas it didn't put me off.
But let's talk about the kid.
The kid. So, you said it didn't work for you the way he rolled with it.
Liam Neeson steals the kid from a fucking school, brings him back to a thing. Now, clearly Liam Neeson is not nasty or whatever, but that's just pure luck, okay? The kid's like, oh, so this is your house, you know? Motherfucker, you just got kidnapped! Then he's like, you heard of Stockholm Syndrome?
Remember his dad?
Yeah, he's a cunt.
His dad is a sociopath.
Still his fucking dad.
Yeah, but in fact, he gets most of his parenting, and they do a pretty good job of showing this in three or four scenes, from one of the bodyguards, a dude who you see in all the Italian gangster flicks.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's the one that gives him... a few special treats. He's the one that, when he wins money, is like, "Thanks, man, you're the best."
Yeah. That's good.
So that guy is more of a father figure than his own father, who he is both terrified of and very wary of. So when this nice guy, and he is a nice guy, doesn't tie him up or throw him in the back of the car or whatever. He's also painted as very intelligent, so he kind of realizes that someone else is coming to get him, and this guy has ineffectively gotten first. Now, who knows what the other people are going to do, but you could...
Yeah.
The implication is, and he seems to pick up pretty quick, they were far more violent than you're going to be.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely.
He kind of rolls with it, and to the point where he tests it out a little bit. He says, well, what am I going to do if I run away? He says, you can run, but you're just going to die in the snow. Okay. And then he's like, all right, now go to bed. It's like, I always get read a story. And so he does read a story, and then he... arguably,
it's a
bit quick, I agree with you. But for the purposes of the film... we're establishing here that his dad is such a prick. He's such an asshole. Even his own son can't stand him. And he will take any positive attention in lieu of that.
But his dad is actually wildly invested in him. He's talking about, well, who put these snacks in his thing?
Yeah, getting wildly invested to the point of he has to be successful. Can you imagine a father or a parent like that?
Oh, God. I'm an Asian. Of course I can.
I think this goes well beyond Tiger Mom.
No, it's true. It's true.
To some really extreme. So that didn't bother me at all.
Okay. Look, you as a parent yourself and also a shrink.
Yeah.
Have definitely got a bit of respect
for that. Sure it wouldn't happen that way so quickly in real life, but for the purposes of the film.
Again, we make a lot of allowances for a movie. It's a movie, right? Okay, look, your explanation makes me feel a little better about it, but at the end, he just gets in the fucking snowblower and just drives away. And
which seemed to be the only point the police officers were there.
No.
Kid
driving. That was my problem. The cop sees a kid driving away in a snowblower. Doesn't even go after it. She's like, everyone is like a fucking kid.
If I had a problem with the film, it's the police arc. Doesn't need to be there. Excise the whole thing from it. Film better. Kid gets in the snowplow, drives off. And then we need one scene.
Yeah, you're probably right.
One scene of him, you know, running out of petrol or driving into a ditch somewhere, and he picks on the CB and says, "Can someone come get me?"
Exactly. Damn. Yeah, we just need to make sure he's okay. Yeah, it didn't do that.
No, he was okay. It heavily implies he's fine because the cop says, "Pick up the kid."
Well, he's looking at his mom, who's actually a real mom.
Yes, and his mom is a good person. And,
yeah. Yep. Okay.
Then there's a couple of good shootouts. Again, the comedy moments, the way they're killed, like when Viking, the guy comes to Dobbin, basically Coxman is the guy who took the kid.
Yeah.
And he's like, "So how much did my guy say?" Oh, that Hitman scene was great.
That was good, yeah.
How much did my guy say he'd pay? 10 grand. 10 grand, huh? Fade out. Black.
Yeah, that was good.
He's dead.
You're right. Actually, Liam Neeson doesn't do that much killing. No. Everyone else starts killing.
He kills three people and then he never kills someone else in the entire film. He aids in killing Viking.
That's right.
But in the end, it's the Native American chieftain who kills him. Or
that was a weird thing as well. So then the Native American chief guy is then just like picks up fucking...
Well, he jumps in there, "You're going to get me away from here," and he's going to shoot him. But then as he doesn't react and whatever, they kind of just, "I'm all right." And he gets so comfortable.
That's weird.
He gets so comfortable. I mean, he thinks he's lost all of them. Turns out there's one alive, but not for long.
Yeah.
He's lost all of his guys, so he falls asleep.
That was good. The parachute.
That's what I was saying before. The wind.
My god, that was good. I was like,
great moment in the film. We have officially.
Because you forgot about him.
Yep.
Yeah. So look,
I just assumed he was back in the group that he landed until he looked over and saw him off the side.
That was good. But I think that again, all those moments are gold, right? It's just the whole like, and then Chief's like, "I'll just let this guy who knows that I killed someone go." You know, I don't know. It's a weird little thing. It just needed to make a little more sense for me. That's what it was.
Okay.
And I think I may be letting it get in my way because really you're supposed to just disengage your brain. And God knows that's how I live
my
life.
And I didn't have to disengage my brain anywhere near as much as most of the action shit we watch. So.
Well, it's roughly 200 or 300 times better than Polar, in my opinion. So don't worry about it. And Polar's trying to do the right thing. Yes. He's trying to do the same thing, kind of, right? So. Comparing those two, this is a winner. Absolutely.
Well, on that note, well, given that you gave Polo a whole 30, what is your score then? Final scores for Cold Pursuit.
Oh, okay. It's 61.
Okay. I went higher than that. I gave it a 68.
68?
Mm-hmm.
This is big for you.
That's a reasonable score.
Did you go by yourself?
I went with my brother, actually.
Okay.
He dug it.
Two guys.
Didn't love it. Yeah, he liked it. Fine.
Okay. All right.
And by the way, our screening was packed. We had to sit like in the third front row.
Really?
Yeah.
Mine was not.
Oh, that's interesting.
Weird. Everyone likes Wednesday night. What are you going to do?
Clearly. All right. Well, that's our review of Cold Pursuit. It is two passes. It's one hard recommend, one soft recommend.
Yeah.
Is that easy?
You know what? If you're looking for a laugh, just go see it, but don't expect much. There you go.
Look, who would expect much from a Liam Neeson film released at the end of January, start of February?
See, I don't even know when shit's released and what that means for its life, so you're just smarter at me than that.
It's all right, 4 years of a movie podcast.
I don't know, man. Brother flies by the seat of his pants.
I stand
resolute, motherfucker!
Yeah. that is it. Thank you so much for joining us for today's feature review. If you haven't already, go back to last week's main episode where we started off our 1-2 Oscar punch with the top 10 Academy Award winning Best Actor, Actress performances. And then next week, we're having Daniel and Dean from the IMDb Journey podcast joining us for the top 10 Academy Award winning films.
Yeah.
As the lead up to the Oscars come about. And you can also check out last week, Wayne and I's predictions for who is going to win the major categories of the Oscars this year.
I always lose these.
I think we came a dead draw last year. You just threw one to make it a result. So this year, different story. We'll see how we go. It's a way more open
so
field.
Different like this
yeah,
one.
Yeah, this one's a hard year. All right, thanks so much for joining us again. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
And this has been The Soundboard.
This is the dumbest shit anyone ever said in the history of, and I don't think I'm exaggerating here, time.
Fuck off. We'll catch you next time.